Welcome to our Brihad Bhagavatamrita course. Thank you all for attending. A few formalities to begin with. We have an attendance sheet here. Please mark yourself present. If your name is not here, then just write it in the next space down and mark yourself present, and just keep passing it around until everyone has signed in. Well, it's very nice that we're here in Sri Vrindavan Dham and in this very sacred environment. We are able to study the shastras, the writings left to us by our great acharyas and by Krishna himself. So, particularly, we're going to be studying Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which was written here in Vrindavan some 450 or 60 years ago, or 440 perhaps years ago. It is a book which is establishing the glory of Sri Vrindavan Dham and of the inhabitants of Sri Vrindavan Dham. So what better place to study it than in Sri Vrindavan Dham? It's a very interesting book. It's written by Srila Sanatan Goswami, the eldest of the six Goswamis, and one of our very great acharyas in our line. There are two parts to the book. So the first part we'll be studying for the first 2 weeks, the second part for the second 2 weeks. We will have a test at the end of the first 2 weeks and at the end of the second 2 weeks. Each test will be devoted just to the subject matters that we have been through in that particular 2 weeks. We have our study guide. If you haven't got one, then you should get one from the VIHE office. I think it's very important, really. The importance will be more in the sense that I would like you in the evenings, please, and just for your benefit, really, to read through the chapter discussing what we're going to be talking about the following day, so that you know, at least you have a reasonable idea where we will be going in the discussion and what subjects are going to be covered there. The chapters are not long, 1, 2, or 3 pages usually. So it's not more than 15 minutes or so to read through. You could even make a few notes. The idea, as I said, is just to tune in, really, to what we're going to be discussing the following day. So, other than that, there won't be homework, but I think it would be good, as I said, if you would please do that, and in this way you'll be ready. Now, the work is written by Srila Sanatan Goswami. Let us begin by reading a prayer to Srila Sanatan Goswami, written by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. It's a very nice glorification of Sanatan Goswami, and it'll help us perhaps to feel a little appreciation for this great devotee as we just enter in to this work, which is really the greatest of all his works, this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says, Vairagyug bhakti rasam prayatnayar apayayan mam anabipsumandam kripam budir ya paradukadu ki sanatanas tam prabhum ashrayami. I was unwilling to drink the nectar of devotional service, possessed of renunciation. But Sanatan Goswami, out of his causeless mercy, made me drink it, even though I was unable to do so. Therefore, he is an ocean of mercy. He is very much compassionate to fallen souls like me, and thus it is my duty to offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet and to take shelter of him. This is a very nice verse written by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, glorifying Srila Sanatan Goswami, the author of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Just a little background on Sanatan Goswami. Just by looking around, I can see that most of you, I know most of you, I think, at least more than half of you, or almost all of you. So I know that most of you are fairly experienced in Krishna consciousness. So Sanatan Goswami, you are not newcomers to Sanatan Goswami or the six Goswamis. But still, I can just say a little bit about Sanatan Goswami, just as I said in regard to that verse by Raghunath Das Goswami, just so we can enter into his book with some little sense of appreciation for this great soul. So Srila Sanatan Goswami, he appeared in the year 1488. So this means that he is 2 years or so younger than Lord Chaitanya. They're almost the same age, an approximate 2 year difference. Rupa Goswami appeared in 1493. So that means he's 5 years younger than Sanatan Goswami, and, well, 7 years or so younger than Lord Chaitanya. And then Anupam, their other brother, was some years younger, and he's the father of Jiva Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami and actually Srila Rupa Goswami, they, from their childhoods, they showed themselves to be very brilliant young men, to the point that they became nationally renowned in Bengal as great scholars and great intellectuals. They were great linguists. They understood Bengali, of course, was their mother tongue. But they understood Sanskrit completely fluently. They understood Persian, Arabic. These are the languages of the rulers of that time. The Muslims were ruling. Hussein Shah was ruling Bengal at that time. And they knew other languages. Plus, they were just very intelligent. Thank you. Did everyone mark themselves present, incidentally? Anyone not? So, let us hope you did. So they're very clever people, and they became nationally renowned for their intelligence, expertise, culture, and just their ability to do everything with extreme cleverness, expertise, intelligence, maturity, and so on. to the point that their reputations came to the ears of the king, Hussein Shah, and he basically drafted them into his service. There wasn't much they could say. He said, I'll give you two choices. Either you come and work for me, or I'll, you know, kill your families or things like this and abuse you and your families, so you can choose. So they were forced to work for him. And Sanatan Goswami, he became known as Sakara Malik, which translates to something like Prime Minister or Personal Secretary, very, very close personal assistant and advisor. It's like that. Yeah. So he was the personal secretary. Srila Prabhupada describes him sometimes as Prime Minister, but it appears to be a little more specific as personal secretary. Not in the sense that he would just be, you know, taking down dictation and that kind of secretary, but intimate advisor. And, you know, the king would just always bounce things off him and get his opinion. Yeah. So that he was very close, or the king at least was extremely dependent upon him, and the king just would not let him practically out of his sight. He really became dependent upon him. After some time, Sanatan Goswami, he wanted to give that up. He was a devotee from childhood. There are descriptions in Bhakti Ratnakara of how he and Rupa and Anupam, they would play. And their only play would be Vrindavan Leela. Yeah, just like Lord Nityananda and his friends, they would play, but they wouldn't play the ordinary, you know, rather sort of pointless games of children, but they would reenact Vrindavan Leelas. Of course, not all children's games, I guess, are pointless, but, you know, they would play, you know, these really extraordinary games, put it that way. Reenacting the pastimes of the Lord. So they were devotees from birth. And during their childhood and their early years, and while they were working for the king, their Krishna consciousness was there. Absolutely. So after some time, they became frustrated, Rupa and Sanatan, with working for the king. So they tried to sort of ease themselves out of it. And there's a description how, basically, Sanatan Goswami, he decided to just take sick leave, permanent sick leave. So he stayed at home, and every day he would just send in a message saying, sick, sorry. Until the king himself came personally to see what is going on here. And the king told him, you know, you can't go on like this. King could see he wasn't sick. He was surrounded by devotees having a big Krishna Katha. Hussein Shah said, look, you know, it's obvious you're not sick. You've got to come back and work for me. Otherwise, I'll lock you up, or I may have to just kill you or something. Yeah. So Sanatan, in fact, got locked up. And we don't want to go into all the details, and probably you are familiar with the stories anyway. But he very cleverly got out, and very cleverly, despite various difficulties, got away and joined up with Rupa, and they met Lord Chaitanya in Varanasi and surrendered to Lord Chaitanya there. And that was that. Then they were part of the team of Lord Chaitanya. So after some time, Lord Chaitanya sent both of them here to Vrindavan and told them basically to do two things. One was to write, and the other was to uncover the lost holy places. So, back in those days, Vrindavan was not like the way we see it. When Lord Chaitanya came, which was just a few years before they came, the local people living at Radha Kund didn't even know what was Radha Kund, what to speak of where was Radha Kund. So things were very, very much covered over. Sanatan and Rupa, they underwent great austerities, traveling around Vrajmandala, living under the trees, and uncovering so many holy places, and establishing shrines and temples in some cases, as in Vrindavan town. And it would be correct to say that probably not less than 90% of the holy places which we see are there because of the work of Rupa and Sanatan, either directly or indirectly. Either they located them themselves, or perhaps some of their very intimate associates located some of the places. But really, the great, great majority of the work to reveal Vrindavan to the world was done by Rupa and Sanatan. So we owe them a great debt. He worshipped Madan Mohan at the temple down by the Parikrama path. He worshipped Madan Mohan. He wrote a number of important books. Brihad Bhagavatamrita is probably the most important. He also wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas. And he wrote a very amazing commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I've read most of the commentaries of most of our important acharyas on the 10th canto, but in my opinion, for what it's worth, Sanatan Goswami's commentary, at least it struck me more, I could say that, than any of the other commentaries of our previous acharyas on the 10th canto. Very illuminating and very beautifully presented. So, these are some of the contributions of Srila Sanatan Goswami. So, he wrote Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And we are now going to launch into it. Before we start going into the structure of the book, so we know what we're looking at and how he has presented things. First of all, I will read to you his Mangala Charana. He has written an 11 or 12 verse Mangala Charana to this Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Mangala Charana is there, well, to establish auspiciousness at the beginning of a literary work, but also, in fact, at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he explains what is a Mangala Charana and what are the specific functions. There are three main functions of a Mangala Charana. First is to define the subject matter of the book. Second is to offer respects to whoever, like one's spiritual master, the Supreme Lord, and whoever one might feel like offering respect to. And third is to offer blessings, generally to the audience, to the readers. These are the three main functions of a Mangala Charana, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So, let us just read these 12 verses here. first 12 verses of Brihad Bhagavatamrita and just try to catch a little bit the mood of Sanatan Goswami himself as he approaches this great book. So he says, "All glories to that inconceivable Lord who descended to bestow the gift of perfect love for his own lotus feet. He is an ocean filled with many kinds of sweetness, and he always bears the fragrance of fresh youth. In his form as Sri Chaitanya, he has realized the last extreme of transcendental experience, the love residing eternally in the gopis. All glories above all to the gopis, headed by Sri Radhika, who are famous as the most dear devotees of the Lord. No one can even begin to properly describe the charm of their supreme affection for Sri Hari. Realizing that the ecstasy of his beloved devotees is even sweeter than his own, out of greed, the Lord descended to this world in the form of his own devotee, dressed as a renunciant, golden in effulgence. He bears the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. All glories to that Lord Hari, who has appeared as the son of Mother Sachi. All glories to Goddess Mathura Devi, the best of holy cities. She attracts the mind. She is most dear to the enemy of Kamsa, and she is adorned with the Lord's birthplace. Mathura is acclaimed throughout the world for dispelling misery and bestowing liberation and devotion, and that is without mentioning the various pastimes the Lord has displayed there. All glories to this place where we are living, Lord Murari's Vrindavan forest. He prefers residing here to residing in Vaikuntha or in the hearts of elevated saints. In Vrindavan, while always tending his cows, he gives pleasure to the gopis, whose love for him in the mood of the rasa dance he increases by sweetly playing his flute. All glories to Sri Yamuna, the daughter of the sun god and sister of Yamaraj. She is beloved to Krishna, the killer of Mura. She has made friends with Mathura district and has exceeded the greatness of Ganga Devi. On the pretext of being a river, she carries the nectar flowing from Lord Sri Krishna's lotus feet. All glories to Govardhan, the emperor of lordly mountains. The Lord's dear gopis called him the best of Hari's servants. Krishna personally disrupted Indra's sacrifice to worship Govardhan instead, and then the hill resided for a week on the Lord's lotus palm. All glories to Sri Krishna's Prema Bhakti. Knowing that the feet of Prema Bhakti secretly comprise all the truths of the Vedas, liberation herself has come to worship her. Liberation, abandoned by the Vaishnavas, is eager to have the shelter of Prema Bhakti. Now, liberation has given up her dependence on mantras, penance, sacrifice, and renunciation. All glories to Lord Murari in the form of his all-ecstatic name. If any living being puts aside such tasks as meditation, ritual worship and social duties, and even once takes the Lord's holy name, the name will grant him liberation. That holy name is the greatest source of eternal pleasure and is my only livelihood and ornament. I bow down to Sri Krishna Chandra, the reservoir of unconditional mercy. In this modern age, he has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to distribute the taste of pure love. And this is now the final verse of the Mangala Charana. This book collects the essence of the scriptures teaching devotional service rendered to the Supreme Lord. These essential teachings I have personally realized under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I received them from his dear devotee, Sri Rupa. This is the Mangala Charana of Srila Sanatana Goswami for his book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So now, what is Brihad Bhagavatamrita then? Actually, it is described on page 1 and the top of page 2 in your study guides. The study guides were written originally by His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. I have just made some slight alterations in some places, or just added some bits, really, in some places. Otherwise, it is as presented by Maharaj. It is quite condensed, I must say, but it certainly gives the basic outline. So now, in the introduction, he explains that this book is divided in two parts, Purva, preliminary, or the first part, and Uttar, final. The first part is called Sri Bhagavat Kripa Niyadhara, or Determining the Greatest Recipient of the Lord's Mercy. And the second part is called Establishing the Glory of Goloka Vrindavan. Yes, so in the broadest form, that is the nature of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There are two parts. There are two quite separate stories. Each has its own main character. In the first part, which is about determining the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, the central character is Narada Muni. Narada Muni goes on a quest to find this person or these people. Who has received the most mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So he visits various devotees and he talks with them, and gradually those devotees, through discussion with them, he becomes directed higher and higher and higher up the line, you could say, towards those topmost devotees who are the devotees who are the greatest recipients of the Lord's mercy. Now, what does this mean, the greatest recipients of the Lord's mercy? You know, really what it indicates is who are the greatest devotees. The Lord is not, of course the Lord also is causeless with his giving of mercy. That is there. But then at the same time, the Lord does give his mercy in a reciprocal sense, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatamam prapajyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As they surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. So even though, on one hand, it can be said that the Lord's mercy is causeless, but at the same time, there's also another perspective, that is, that he gives more mercy to the more advanced devotees. And if we look at it in that way, then when we determine who has been the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, we are determining who are the greatest devotees. And in fact, that becomes vividly clear as we go step by step through his sequence of encounters with different devotees gradually going up to higher and higher levels. Yes. So that is the nature.